Welcome back. In this advanced Ableton workflow lesson, we're getting into something that separates fast, consistent neuroproducers from everybody who keeps reinventing the wheel every session. This lesson is called Cataloging Signature Chains for Neuro. And honestly, if you make neurofunk, dark techie drum and bass, or any heavier rolling bass music, this is a massive unlock. You know the situation. You build some disgusting resampled bass chain, some perfect drum crunch bus, or some movement rack that absolutely nails the vibe. Then a few weeks later, you open a new project, and it's gone. You remember that it slapped, but not why, not how, not what order the devices were in, not which version was actually the good one. So this lesson is about fixing that for good. We're not just saving random presets. We're building a producer-grade recall system inside Ableton Live, a proper library of signature racks and chains that you can actually trust. Tools for neuro-reese processing, mid-bass aggression, top-layer grit, drum-bus movement, parallel smash chains, atmosphere textures, transition effects, and utility control. The big idea is this. In advanced drum and bass production, one of your biggest advantages is not just how well you can sound design. It's how fast and reliably you can retrieve your own best decisions. That is what we're building. By the end of this lesson, you want a workflow built around audio effect racks, instrument racks, macro controls, color-coded naming, previewable user library folders, template tracks, reference tagging, a slash B utility chains, and resampling crit lanes. And before we get into devices and folders, here's the first mindset shift. Treat every chain like a unit of decision-making. A really useful rack is not just a cool stack of plugins. It's a shortcut. It answers a production question quickly. You drop it on a sound, and it moves you toward a clear result. Maybe movement, maybe controlled aggression, maybe mid-range identity, maybe drum lock, maybe top fizz, maybe cleanup before resampling. If you can't explain what a chain is supposed to do in one sentence, it probably isn't ready to be cataloged yet. That's a huge filter, and it'll save you from building a library full of junk. So let's start with what counts as a signature chain. In Neuro, save chains that reliably create movement, add controlled aggression, shape the mid-range, lock basses into drums, create darkness and space, or make resampling more efficient. Good examples would be a multiband bass rack with different distortion on lows, mids, and highs, a drum bus that consistently gives your break more bite, a parallel rack that turns weak mids into dense growls, or a utility rack that keeps the low-end mono while letting the top stay wide and controlled. Bad examples are chains, saved from one random project with weird automation baked in, racks that only work on one exact sample, chains with no macros and no level matching, or presets called something like Cool Sound Final 7. Fun name. Terrible workflow. Now let's build the library structure. Inside Ableton's user library, create a folder hierarchy that reflects how you actually think when making a tune. Not by plugin type, not by date, not by chaos. A clean structure would be DNB signature chains at the top, then folders for bass, drums, FX, buses, resample tools, and reference tools. Inside bass, split further into reese, mid-bass, top layers, neuro movement, and sub-control. Inside drums, have breaks, kick snare bus, tops, and drum parallel. Why does this matter? Because when you're writing at 174 and trying to get a drop moving, you don't want to browse through new audio effect rack. Rack 3, or heavy thing may be good. You want to think, what source am I processing? What role does it play and what result do I need right now? That's the browser logic. Now naming. This part seems boring until you don't do it, and then it becomes one of the biggest workflow killers in your entire setup. Your naming convention should tell you three things fast. What the source is, what the chain does, and what its tonal or emotional character is. A solid format is category, source, process, character. So things like NB Reese Band Split Dark, NB Mid FM Clip Facer Metal, DR break transient glue rolling, bus bass mono low side trim control, or FX noise filter verb rise. Notice that those names describe the result, not just the plugin order. That's important. Saturator OTT EQ Facer tells you less than mid-saw harmonic push move. The first one tells you what happened technically. The second tells you why you'd reach for it. And here's an advanced upgrade. Separate generator chains from finisher chains. Generator chains are the wild stuff. Movement racks, distortion stacks, texture builders, resample destroyers. Finisher chains are your stabilizers. Mono low control, peak taming, dynamic smoothing, width control, drum glue, a slash B references, Adding a prefix like GDN or FIN helps keep your library clean. You can also add a confidence score, T1 for tested once, T2 for works on several sources, T3 for proven and finished tracks. That's such a pro move, because it tells you instantly, whether you're loading a trusted weapon or a lab experiment. Now let's build one core neuro base chain properly. We're going to make a signature movement rack using stock Ableton devices. The example is a chain for reslayers, mid-bass resamples, dirty growls, and top mid-movement. Think something like NB Resband split move dark. Start with a resource. 2 detune saws from operator or wavetable is fine. If this is a mid-layer, get the true sub out of the way early. You're mostly targeting the 120 Hz to about 4.5 kHz zone. The device order is simple and smart. EQ8, then an audio effect rack with 3 bands, then distortion or tone shaping per band, then phaser or filter movement, then compression, utility, and a limiter only for safe auditioning. First, prep with EQ8. High pass around 90 to 120 Hz if this isn't your sub. Maybe low pass around 7 to 10 kHz if the source is too fizzy. This audio version is shortened for playback.